Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. I have told you this in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but I will tell you clearly about the Father. On that day you will ask in my name, and I do not tell you that I will ask the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have come to believe that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." Recently, I spent 5 days with 15 college students from the University of North Carolina. They're part of a campus ministry leadership team there in the Newman Center. We were at the beach, a North Carolina beach, in a training program for Catholic evangelization. These students heard stories of faith, lives that speak in Jesus' name. And they in turn told their own stories of coming to faith. We prayed together for each other, asking in his name for help to become witnesses to the gospel we heard. Their stories answered questions like, "Who did God use to interest you in Jesus Christ? Who did God use to teach you to pray in Jesus' name? Who did God use to teach you to act in Jesus' name, to love in Jesus' name?" Here is Paul's story. Paul's a recent graduate, and he writes, "7 years ago today, I became a Christian. But it was 10 years ago that God came into my life through a person, a warm, compassionate friend who gently wore down a hard, insensitive shell until I was ready to understand God's love for me. Our relationship had a painful beginning, at least for me. We were players on opposing high school football teams. You don't easily forget a face that runs by you for touchdown after touchdown. God entered my life through this one person, this touchdown guy. God entered through Paul as a Nathan to David to let me... God entered my life through Gary as a Nathan to David to let me know when I had messed up, as a Paul to Timothy to disciple me from spiritual childhood to Christian maturity, and as Jesus to Pilate, one-on-one, a one-on-one presence to help me when I stumbled and failed, so that I could help and strengthen others someday. In those early years, Gary was just my friend. Our lifestyles were very different. Mine was patterned after the world of high school. Gary seemed to be conformed to a different pattern. His life represented for me the only force on the horizon which pushed people upward, actually built them up. I vaguely knew that there is a God, but there was nothing personal about this knowledge. In a real sense, the Word became flesh because I knew Gary. God became real. Gary was not Jesus, but the gospel was etched in his heart, and his relationship with Jesus touched an emptiness and a longing in me. As a senior, I had an English paper to write. I entitled it Spaces to Fill. I wrote it to somebody, anybody, who could fill those spaces. Okay, I admit it. I'm insecure. I am immature. I am a great waste to the world. Will you help me? I need you to help me get out of the dark. Will you shine the light for me? That's what I wrote. God must have been listening, because 2 months later I was invited to become part of a small prayer and scripture group which Gary led. A year later, I was a brand new Christian, learning to live a life that spoke the name of Jesus. Soon after, I left for a college where I knew no one. There was no prayer group. Nothing and no one in this college spoke to me about Jesus or to Jesus, except to use his name in a curse or for emphasis to make the speaker's own point. I might have been a Christian, but I was defeated and alone. By April the 1st, I was the fool, completely disconnected. One thing happened in April that made a difference. All the difference. I had no friends, but all year long, some guys down the hall in my dorm had been asking me to smoke dope with them. I'd said no, thinking that this did not speak the name of Jesus. But on this day, I decided to join them, more concerned about my emptiness than anything else. Anything to fill that emptiness, I told myself. But right before I left my room, I called Gary. I told him what I was planning to do. He told me it was a cop-out. I told him I could care less. He said, "I'll be right there." Then he hung up on me. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon as I started down the hallway. Gary arrived at 7 p.m. He had hitched over 100 miles to be here with me. "I'll be right there," he said. We sat against the architectural building on campus, listening to the rain against the side of the building and watching it fall. I told Gary about this empty ache in me. We prayed together. That night, Gary slept on the couch in the dorm lounge. He was back on the road at 7 a.m. With the help of a trucker, he made it back to his desk for his 9 a.m. class. That was a turning point for me. God spoke clearly that evening. "I love you. I love you enough to send a busy student, one who needs to be studying tonight, to let you know in no uncertain terms that I hear you. I am with you. I am for you." Well, our friend Paul, who writes this story, started a prayer and scripture group on his campus. He shared with his roommate and others this love that he had received from God through Gary. He began to form relationships that would last. After that experience that night, Paul said, "I heard in myself, quit protecting yourself. Love someone, anyone. Take a risk. You won't do everything right, but that's okay. Just do it. Do it in my name. Pray for them in my name. Love them in my name. Don't stop. Keep doing it in my name." That's Paul's story. And his song? Jesus, all for Jesus. All I am and have and ever hope to be for Jesus. I ask him to be the fire in my heart be the reason I live. All in your name, to the Father, in your name, Jesus.